eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we got a lot of show left at 7:02 on a Monday morning. The Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. And Al, we are going to be talking about, I know you want to talk about
what is it?
How the Niners conducted themselves, and specifically the head coach. That's coming up. And you know what, Al? I had a few complaints during the game.
Phew.
I
got
to hear them. What? There were a few complaints, and I'm going to get to those in a little while as well. But on the line with us right now, what a great time to have him back. The legend himself, the great Ray Dittiger. Hi, Ray.
Good morning, Ange. How are you?
Well, I'm great, Ray, and I enjoyed the post-game. They had five guys on the panel. They put Ray right in the middle. Ray, I just want to start with this. You wrote the Eagles Encyclopedia. What does it mean to the city of Philadelphia to have the Eagles going to the Super Bowl?
Well, Philadelphia is a great sports town. We've certainly talked about that endlessly, but there's no question that the number one team is the Eagles. When they get all the way to the top, because we've certainly seen the other extreme. I mean, we've certainly seen them be bad. But when they make it all the way to the championship game, yeah, there's nothing like it. There really isn't. And you saw it. I mean, within minutes after the end of the game, all the city streets were full, and the crowd was all around City Hall, and the crowd was up in the Northeast, and everybody was just celebrating. And it was tremendous because, you know, this franchise went a long time, a long, long time between successes. And, there were a lot of people who thought that they'd never see this team get to a Super Bowl, much less win a Super Bowl. So to have it happen now and, you know, to have it happen 5 years ago and then have it happen again is a tremendous cause for celebration. And, you know, it's an exciting young team with some exciting players and a very excitable head coach. And I think everybody's really enjoying it. And yesterday's game was, you know, it certainly wasn't pretty. But, you know, 31-7 against the number one defense in the NFL in a championship game is pretty good.
It wasn't pretty, but it was Purdy. Because once Purdy got hurt early in the game on a hit by Reddick, and they had no one who could actually throw the ball, Ray. The game was, in retrospect, the game was kind of over in that moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. You know, I mean, I've seen Josh Johnson. So, I mean, it was, I think the 49ers are his 13th team.
Wow. 13th.
You know, he's an arena football guy. He's an XFL guy. I mean, he's played everywhere and always kind of moves around. And not that Purdy was by any means Montana or Young, but at least he was a capable quarterback that had won some games for this team. Once he was gone and you knew they were going to have to go the rest of the way with Johnson, the game was over at 21-7. The game was really over at halftime.
It's all right. If you know that you really have one option here, Purdy, you're going to block Hassan Reddick with 18 sacks this year with tight ends? Wasn't that ridiculous?
It was. I thought that right from the beginning because that was coming into the game, you know, when going into every game, you always view it through matchups. You know, how do you match up with the other team? How do your one-on-one individually, how do you match up? How do your wide receivers match up against their corners? How do your tight ends line match up against their safeties? And across the offensive line and defensive line, how do they match up man for man? And the one matchup I kept coming back to was Reddick on that one side against Mike McGlinchey. You know, if it had been on the other side, you know, where Trent Williams plays, it would have been a pretty even match, I think. But on the other side, I said, man, the Eagles have a big advantage here. And one of the things that I was kind of waiting to see was my thinking was, well, as destructive and disruptive as Reddick can be, I mean, certainly the 49ers aren't going to try and block him with one guy. I mean, they've seen how he's, you know, how he's made plays that have changed games. So they're going to – I was really kind of curious to see what kind of scheme they would come up with to try and block him. And the scheme they came up with was worse than I imagined. I mean, they didn't even put a lineman on. They put a tight end on him in that situation. And that hit – you know, I think the Eagles probably would have won anyway.
Yeah.
I think Purdy's – you know, I don't know that Purdy could have won that game anyway. But once he went out, I mean, certainly there was no chance for the 49ers to come back and win.
Hey, right. All that having been said, it's second quarter, 7-7, and the Eagles have the ball on their own 34, 4th-and-1. They tried a quarterback sneak. It didn't work on third. Was that a good risk to take with the other team no longer having a quarterback?
It didn't occur to me as a bad idea at the time.
Wow, because it worked, but... I was so, Ray, I thought I was creating negative scenarios.
There's
where
a shock.
They're going to get points here and then shut the Eagles down because they got a great defense. And we're going to go, why the hell did you give them 3 points, if not seven, by handing the ball deep in your own territory? If honestly, I know they use analytics. I keep going back to that moment and going, Mike, that was the one time I was scared. Because, Ray, that did not seem to be a logical decision in the moment.
Yeah, I know, and you're at your own 32, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess I've seen that play be so successful so often this year that, I mean, while I recognize it's a risk, I think it's a risk probably worth taking, and it worked. I mean, the only time I really questioned the coaching in yesterday's game was in the second half. When they had that one series where they ran RPO with Hurts,
yeah,
two or three times,
that was
where
he just
took the snap, tucked the ball, and off he goes. And I'm thinking, look, you've got this game totally in hand. You know, why are you choosing to run him on designed runs when he's clearly playing with an injured shoulder? I mean, you can say what you want about it's getting better, but I mean, he's clearly playing with an injured shoulder. Why would you expose him to taking more hits in a situation where it's absolutely unnecessary? That was really the only time all day yesterday that I questioned the coach's judgment, because to me that didn't seem like it was the risk reward thing. Certainly didn't seem to be the right way to go.
Well, here's the I question a lot the other coach, the Niners, Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
First of all, the Eagles ended up getting the go ahead drive on four really undisciplined penalties by the Niners. And then at the end of the game, Trent Williams decided to prove how undisciplined they were by attacking Kayvon Wallace. Is that team undisciplined normally, Ray, or did they lose it because they lost their quarterback? I'm trying to understand the way they performed after Purdy got hurt.
No, no, that's not generally the way they play. They're normally a very disciplined team, I think.
Oh.
For as physical as they are, and as tough as they are, they generally don't do stupid things. But yesterday they did, and yesterday it really hurt them because of key situations. I mean, the Eagles struggled to move the ball on them. The Eagles struggled to sustain drives. And one of the ways they sustained the two long drives, the only two long drives they had, were penalties by the 49ers, kind of dumb penalties by the 49ers that gave the Eagles first downs and sustained those possessions. I mean, they played like a dumb team, but they're not. They're really not.
Hmm.
But, you know, it started early with a dumb non-decision by Kyle Shanahan not to challenge the Devontae Smith play.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, that is a huge play in the game. It's the first possession. It's a fourth down. I mean, that's a change of possession play. You know, they've got the ball. They've got the ball 30. You're at the 35-yard line. You're 35 going in, and all of a sudden they throw this pass, and from the second that he hit the ground, even before the replay came up, I thought, man, that's a great catch, but I'm not so sure he caught it. And if you're Shanahan in that spot, I think you have to challenge. I know what they're waiting for. You know, they were waiting for the reverse angle that clearly shows the ball on the ground, but that didn't come up right away. But if you're Shanahan, you got to throw the flag and just stop the game and get that look, because it's too big a play. By not challenging it, letting them get the completion, you know, the Eagles go down, they score a touchdown, you're down 7-0. Whereas if you challenge it and you win it, then that, you know, you get possession of the ball. I mean, that was a huge play, and I thought that the one thing that convinced me that it was a trap was Devontae Smith's reaction to it, the way he jumped up and the way he was signaling to the team, come on, let's hurry, hurry, hurry.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I thought he's trying to rush everybody down here so they can snap the ball before this play gets reviewed or before they can challenge, because he knew that the ball was on the ground. And for Shanahan, I mean, that was certainly worth a challenge. I know that you don't like to use them early in the game, but that was such a critical situation. I thought it was a huge strategic mistake that he didn't do that.
Absolutely. Ray Dittiger, we're going to use you like a rented mule. You're rested. You've retired for a while. We'll hear from you again later in the week, Ray. Always an honor. Thank you, my friend.